Colossians chapter 3, and I wanted to talk about hope, giving hope today, and the actual title of the lesson is Fathers Who Give Hope, and I thought the title would be fitting for Father's Day, and I'm glad to be a father, and I'm glad if you're a father. And even if you're not a father, you had to have a father someplace. So thank God for father. Yeah, think about that for a minute. Yeah, son. But and there's a whole lot less people today celebrating Father's Day in the world, especially in America. You say there are? Yeah, because so many fathers are absent without leave. They're just not there. They want to father children, but they don't want the responsibility that comes along with being a father. And so a whole lot less fathers. I mean, it's not unusual. The illegitimacy rate in the nation today is overwhelming. They say, where's the dads? Just a bunch of deadbeats that don't want to show up. And I think every family and every home has probably been touched by the plight and pillage of somebody, some guy, someplace who just doesn't want to do the job. But on another note, I want to thank God for the good dads and the real fathers and the ones that brought hope. And most of all, I want to thank God for the Heavenly Father, because there, at the Heavenly Father, there's a title for you. And so it caused me to think these ways and put a new message together. And obviously, I've been preparing messages for the last month for the meetings I'll be in this coming last week of June, a full week of June. And then we'll be over at Tree of Life Baptist Church in another part of Tennessee with my son preaching there. And I'm going to try to make that verse practical where it says, come and I will make ye fishers of men. When I get over there, I'm going to get on Cherokee Lake on a boat called Visitation and try to do all the visiting I can. Well, no, I'm just, how did I get there with that? But we're planning a meeting. We'll be out about 10, 11 days, so you won't see me for a while. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, I ask you to turn, and I want that one verse of Scripture. And the thought here this morning, or the title, Fathers Who Give Hope. As a pastor and an evangelist and a teacher, we're always trying to teach what the Scripture says, especially about things that should be principles in our life and should be distinctives and should be just the norm. But so often it's not the norm. So again, we continue to teach. But the verse says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And when I look at that, and I appreciate the prayers this morning and the prayer we had here, so I'll not take the time to pause, although we stay in prayer, in a season of prayer. First, there is the address in the verse. I just want you to look at that verse for Sunday school. There's the address in the verse, fathers. Who's it to? Fathers. Second, there is the command in the verse. Provoke not your children. There's the command. Provoke not your children. And then thirdly, there is the purpose of command. Well, what's the command about? The purpose of a command, lest they be discouraged. So the verse says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. The verse has a natural three-part breakdown. Like many verses do, if you're a student of the Word of God or a preacher or a pastor or a teacher, you're always looking for a way to outline or teach the verse. And you'll find a threesome in a lot of verses, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Here we have that three-part breakdown, the address, the command, and then the purpose of the command. So I want to look at these three parts of the text one at a time, but notice now, I want to look at them in reverse. So you'll see me dealing with the last thing first and then come through three. We're going to get 3 points this morning. So I'm going to reverse the order. But first, I want to direct our attention to the goal, or goals if you please, of Christian fathers. Namely, rearing children who are not discouraged. A lot of discouragement in the world today. When you get into the home and the families and look at all the children that are there, and you're going to find a lot of discouragement in homes and families. So hopefully we can see some light on some hope. So namely, or firstly, rearing children who are not discouraged. Secondly, I want to look at the duty of Christians, mainly or namely, if I name it, namely, not to do those things to discourage children. A lot of times parents are so discouraging to their children. Excuse me. This is probably mine, isn't it? All right. Got to check this out and see how much Scottish is in that with the ginger ale. Dare I? It's good. So that second thing is, or namely, not to do those things to discourage children. If you have children, you don't want to discourage your kids. And finally, lastly, I want to focus on the leader in Christian parenthood. And I don't know any better way to say it. That's what it is, Christian parenthood. And namely, or that focus is on fathers. So the subject here, fathers who give hope, a little breakdown. But before I say anything about the verse, I want to say just a few words about the fatherhood, and I'm going to use that term this morning because I believe that I can, the fatherhood of God. Ponder that just for a moment. The fatherhood of God. If you have your Bible, go to John chapter 8, verse 42. In John chapter 8, verse 42... Let's let the scriptures speak for themselves, where therein is the power of the Word of God. In John 8:42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, hold up there. Are you telling me that God is not everybody's Father? I thought He was the Heavenly Father. Let's let the scripture speak as we look at the fatherhood of God and see whose father He is. If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Jesus is speaking to the Sanhedrin. He's speaking to the Pharisees. And if you have a red letter edition Bible, these words will be in red. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me, the He being the Heavenly Father. Now watch what He says in the very next verse. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Look at the next verse. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You realize what's going on there? When we look or think about the fatherhood of God, the Heavenly Father, He is not the father to a lot of folks today. They may claim Him as their Heavenly Father, but He's not their Father. You see, a man and a woman is born into this world by earthly parents. And because of that awful fall in the garden when Eve disobeyed God, partook of the fruit, and that nature fell upon all mankind, you got a new father today, spiritually speaking. See, the devil has a fatherhood too. And when you're born into this world, you're born lost. And when you come to the age, and we throw this term around loosely, the age of accountability, your old pappy is the devil. That's your daddy. Say, oh, preacher, I thought you was going to give me hope. You're painting with a black brush today. Well, hang on, I'll give you a little hope. But I don't want to be no disillusions this morning. If you're not saved and don't know God and never come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, God is not your heavenly Father. You still believe in the lie, and your old daddy is the devil. I don't know how to make it any simpler. I don't know how to make it any sweeter today. Your daddy's the devil. Oh, my. Can I change daddies? Yeah, hang on. That's about that hope I'm going to talk about. Amen. So, God is not everyone's father. Would you agree with that? I hope you would. Paul said this in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. You can trust the scriptures. Let them speak. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. You're saved today. The Spirit of God dwells in you. Watch. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, and there are some that do not have the Spirit of Christ. All lost people do not have the Spirit of Christ. Just want you to know that. He is none of his. So if you are struggling with who your daddy is, and you don't have the Spirit of God, you've never been saved, the Holy Spirit's never moved in, you're void of the Holy Spirit of God, according to the Word of God, because you never put your faith and trust in God. You don't belong to God. He's not your Father. He wants to be your Father, but He's not your Father. Romans 8, 14, right there while you're there, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that's saved people, they are the sons of God. Very next verse, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of, be careful, adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, because you now have the Spirit of God once you've been saved. Do you see what that verse says? You've received, there's a doctrine called the doctrine of adoption. I've been adopted by the Heavenly Father. Amen. When I got saved by the grace of God, He adopted me. You say, why? Because my other spiritual daddy wasn't no good. Amen. He's the devil. He had tricked the human race into believing the wrong things. And brother, he was my father until the day I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was divorced of that father, and I had a new Heavenly Father, and the Word says I was adopted, and now I'm able to cry, Abba, Father. I got a new daddy, a new father. And that father is the Heavenly Father. But the Heavenly Father is not everybody's father. Are you following that? I wanted to just say a few words about the fatherhood of God. Not everyone can lay claim to this privilege of knowing God as Father. That's what I'm trying to say. Only those who are born of God. John chapter 1 and verse 12. Let the scripture speak. But as many as received him. Don't you see? A lot of folks have never received him. They've received something, but they've never received the Heavenly Father, never received the Lord Jesus Christ, never received the Spirit of God. They've got a spirit. They may have another Jesus, but their daddy's still the same, the devil. And the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And those that are led by the Spirit, there the Spirit shows up again. That's what we're reading about in Romans. He says here that the Spirit of God. And then Paul says in verse 14, to continue with that thought, for as Romans 8, 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, if you're saved by the grace of God and have the Spirit living in you, your daddy is God the Father. Amen. Now, and you have the right, if the Heavenly Father is your daddy, if you're saved today, you have the right to receive the inheritance of the children. Because you're a child of God. You follow that? You're either the child of God or the child of the devil. Say, Brother Phil, how come you're so black and white? Well, because God is. There ain't no middle ground here. You can't have two daddies. You can't serve God and mammon. And mammon is the world, and the worldly. I'll get on that in just a moment. I'll watch. Man, I got all kinds done. So now you have the right to receive the inheritance of the children and promises like Matthew 7, verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Aren't you glad you got a dad like that? I mean, a child sitting here today could just about, he may not be able to work mom as easy as he can work dad. And he'll work dad a little bit. Next thing you know, because he is his daddy, he'll probably give him what he wants if he's not careful. You know, we got a heavenly Father that looks out for us the same way. And if our earthly daddy can be moved with the compassion of his children, then surely our heavenly Father can be moved by compassion from his children to answer, receive prayer, answer prayer, and give you the things that you need and sometimes the things that you desire. What a heavenly Father we got. I mean, that's a good Father. Now, the privilege, now if he's your heavenly Father, the privilege of prayer and the promise that God will work all things together for your good is part of the inheritance of the sonship from having him as your heavenly Father. That's what it means to have God as your Father. And everybody don't have God as their Father. You ever wonder who they pray to? Well, they think they're praying to God. Are they? Well, God looks at the heart. And if they are praying to God, the end of that answer is you need to know God in a free pardon of sin. And you can ask till you're blue in the face, and if you're not interested in becoming a child of God, I think the Lord will say, get your other daddy to take care of that. And guess what? A lot of people love to have it so. So there are two ways to listen to my lesson this morning. My message, my preaching, whatever you want to call it. One of them is to take it as a straightforward exhortation from the words of God to fathers on how to raise or rear your children. You take it that way. Or you can take it another way. The other is to take it as a parable or a story pointing to the way the Father in heaven loves those who believe and follow his Son. You can just get the practical side of that thing today, and I hope you do. Or you can get the spiritual ramification of it, which I hope you do. But frankly, I hope you take it both ways. Because both ways will help you. Amen? I mean, you may just need one way, but I got a feeling down on the inside you might need both ways. Amen? So I said I wanted to deal with those three things, and I was going to do it in reverse order. The first one, there in your text, Colossians 3:21, lest they be discouraged. Let me deal with that thought. Lest they be discouraged. Now you know what we're talking about. Fathers, you know, don't provoke your children to wrath or anger. Don't provoke your children to anger. Lest they be discouraged. And so dealing with that last phrase, lest they be discouraged. Can fathers discourage children today? Knowing the ramifications of the responsibilities of a father, and if he don't execute properly, scripturally, and godly, amen, there'll be discouragement. Now, you think the homes don't need this kind of lesson? You think the families across America don't need these kind of sermons? Do you think that the schools across this nation have finally put their finger on the humanistic approach on how to raise kids? Then you're delusional. You've been misguided. You've been deceived. Because the Word of God has the information that we need, so we want to put out the information that we need that we might do like the Heavenly Father. Lest they be discouraged. What? the meaning, discouragement. The word implies losing heart. Children will lose heart under some discipline of fathers. Being listless, kid just is listless in that situation. Spiritless, there's just no spirit in them at all. disinterested. They don't want to do nothing you want to do. Moody. Why is my kids always so moody? Sullen. I don't care. Which kind of blank, it's with a kind, you know, you say something to them, they got kind of a blank resignation toward life. Well, I don't care. Say, well, I hear that out of my kids. Hang on. Don't be that kind of father. Don't be the kind of dad that causes discouragement. Don't be the kind of dad that your kids are always in a funk. Don't be the kind of dad that when dad shows up, they run to their room. Huh? Something wrong there. That kind of a dad will produce that spiritlessness, that disinterest, that moodiness, that sullenness, that blank resignation toward life, just because we're the wrong kind of dad. So to be the opposite of discouragement, that's the definition of the term discourage. So to be the opposite of that, we're going to learn here on the positive side, the opposite of being discouraged is being hopeful. I said this, the title of this thing was The Father That Brings Hope to the Family. So the opposite of being discouraged is someone being hopeful. They're always hopeful. No, it's raining today, but tomorrow the sun's going to shine. They got a little hope. The opposite of being discouraged is being happy. They're not always sad. They got a little spring in their step. They're happy. And it's good to see your children happy. You ever notice that? And when my kids were happy, I tried to figure out ways to make them happy. I'm always trying to figure out ways how to make them discouraged. And I found out that my oldest son, who's 47 years old, and no matter what kind of day he's having, if he could have the worst day on the face of the earth, I mean, his whole world could be upside down. You talk about eating, you talk about grilling out, you talk about fishing, man, he's your best friend all of a sudden. Food kind of does that to me too. And I found out that when my kids got food, we went to the grocery store, it's like Christmas at our house. Oh, we got peanut butter with nuts. my kids would rip a top off of that. They know I love, I think one of the staples of moral life is peanut butter. And I just keep it on the counter all the time. My kids knew that. And they knew it made them happy, and it made me happy. And they'd, you know how that top's them? How'd they get on this? They peel that top back and stick their finger in there just so when daddy got to the jar, he knew somebody done beat them to it. Happy. Food makes you happy. Well, I wasn't going to say all that. I don't fall off the stage here. I wasn't going to say all that, but the opposite of being discouraged is being happy. I just simply a sidebar there. Food makes me real happy. My kids too. The opposite of being discouraged is being confident and courageous. Boy, don't you like to see a kid that's got a little confidence, got a little courage? I mean, got a little grit in his crawl. And brother, if you don't raise that child right, and you don't raise him for God and show him the godly attributes and the things that he's supposed to do, brother, he won't have no confidence for this life. And after all, you're trying to raise a child up to leave. Mom and Dad, listen to me. You only got him for a little while. You old people better shake your head. Yeah, that's right. And you young people better listen up. You got about 18 years to train up a child in the way that it should go. Because actually, you're training that child how to leave and make it on his own and be a blessing to the Lord God, who should be by then their heavenly Father. Yeah, don't discourage them. Be careful now. Now I'm watching get all this in here this morning. So I want to say, you can't encourage them in so much as a worldly sense. Do you understand that? For this is a happiness that kills. If you're trying to make your kids happy in a worldly sense, that kind of happiness kills that child. Do you ever see a kid that had everything? Because daddy and mommy didn't have it when they was little, but I don't want to see my kids do without that. So I got them a quad runner, 4x4, a mini bike. I got them a Honda 105. I got them a three-wheeler and, you know, another quad runner. And I got them a bass boat so I can use it. I mean, we just get everything for them. And if they're a girl, and they say, Daddy, and they bat them big eyes at you at about, you know, 13, 14, 15. I want a horse. You don't get them one horse, you get them two horses. You got them all that worldly stuff. And then they want a car, and you get them a car. And then where the car ain't enough, and they want something else, and you get that for them. Oh, we got to have a swimming pool. I'll swim with my clothes on. How'd I get on that? So we get them a swimming pool. You know, we're trying to be a good mom and a good dad, especially a good dad, because he's supposed to have the final say in a godly home and if God's his heavenly father. And then we give him all kinds of worldly kindness, all kinds of worldly encouragement. And brother, we've just encouraged him with this and encouraged him with that and encouraged him with a college education. And then we've given an encouragement that kills. It's not a godly encouragement. It's a worldly, humanistic encouragement. And folks don't see it today. They're blindsided by it. By the time their kid hits 18 years old, they're gone. They don't want anything to do with you or mom. You say, why? You taught them well. You give them all the things of the world and all the junk of the world and all the carnal of the world, trying to not discourage them because you didn't have it. Am I preaching to the choir? No. One comes from the creation, all the things. And one comes from the Creator. You better be teaching the stuff that comes from the Creator God. Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that ye must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Now he's talking about the family of God entering into the kingdom of God. I know it's in the Acts, and I'm not trying to get in to a doctrinal disputation over the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. I'm not doing that. I'm simply making a statement. I'm saying that the children of God the Father, the saved people, are going to have tribulation, they're going to have trial, and they're going to have trouble. And Paul said he learned how to be content with such things as he had. That's godly teaching. That's the encouraging kind of teaching that you ought to be teaching your kids. Not the worldly teaching, get them this and they're having a bad day, so we'll get them that. Had a bad day again, so we get them some of this and some of that. And next you know, we're giving them the encouragement that kills them, and then we can't figure it out when they run off. Give them the godly encouragement and say, hey, you know, I'm raising you up to be an adult, and you're going to have to put up with some discouragement in this life, because after all, we're just pilgrims and strangers, and we don't really belong down here, and that's why I'm a Christian. I got saved when I was 12, and I've been trying to live for God. And one of these days, and I'm talking to them when they're 4, 5, 6, and 7 years old, life ain't all peaches and cream. Life ain't all fun and games. Huh? There's going to be some suffering. There's going to be some. You say, you teach your children that? Yeah, we did. You say, how'd you start? I just didn't buy groceries that week. We're going to fast and pray, brother. No, I didn't do that. But I sure didn't shower them down with all the things I didn't have as a kid. And then Paul said, we're going to have trouble. Paul said in Romans, or Luke said that, Romans 5:3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, verse 4, and patience, experience, and experience. What are we looking for? Hope. Teach your kids that way. We teach them wrong. We're so humanistic. We're so carnal. We're so worldly. You say, oh, preacher, you're just beating up on everybody. I'm trying to give you hope. If you've been teaching wrong, teach right. If you got a new one, bring him up in the nurture and the admonition of God. Those aren't just idle words. Don't give him the things that encourage from the world, from the creation. Give him the things from God that does not kill, but brings hope. Self-confidence. There's a thing called self-confidence, especially in children, and God confidence. Self-confidence says, I can whip the world because my daddy said I could. And it all started back when my daddy can whip your daddy. That's so carnal. And then if a kid loses on the ball field, he's still a winner. No, he ain't. He's a loser. Huh? Said, what happened? Daddy and mommy taught them, teaching them wrong. And then you grow up and become an adult and find out you have to go 55. Or that big boogeyman with that big yogi bear hat, he going to arrest you, put you in the po-po. Say, are you serious? I'm serious.
We get so wrapped up, so caught up in the humanistic world as dads. Let me just keep on that, as dads, and we forget how to teach right. You don't get everything you want. And if you should bring a child in this world, thank God for the great responsibility. Don't drag him up to the altar and give him back to God. God gave him to you. You raise him. Amen. Oh, I give my kid to God on altar and went on, lived your hellish life. Went on, chased after the creation and not the creator. Then wonder what in the world happened to the kids. Well, I dedicated them to God. Get over it. That's that quote I can't get around. I heard that from somebody. I don't know where I... Get over that. I'll get over it. Andrew Boner, he was a... I'll watch it. Oh, I'm out of time. Let me give you this quote. I got two more points. Man, I'll give them to you some other time. Andrew Boner said this. He's a 19th century Scottish pastor. Wonder if he's half ginger ale. Okay. Said concerning the teaching of children, we tell them you're a sinner, exposed to God's wrath and curse, and you cannot save yourself, but God's own Son can save you by Himself bearing that wrath and curse. In other words, you teach a child to despair of all self-confidence and direct his desire for confidence to the grace of God. What a mouthful. The goal of biblical fathers is to have children who say, you need this verse and I'll quit. Psalms chapter 60, verse 11 and verse 12. Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. We don't teach our kids that today. We teach them there's help in the money I can give you. There's help in the car I bought for you. There's help in everything but that. And then we can't figure out why our kids are gone. Listen. Provoke not your children to anger another time. Lastly, just a simple title, Fathers. I got a third of the way through the message, but I felt like the fatherhood of God thing was important. So thank you for your attention this morning. I do have a printed page of this. And if somebody wants a copy, I'll have a copy made and you can finish the lesson on your own. It's a lesson, and it's meant to be taught, not preached. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the chance to open your scriptures and see what it has to say. And Lord, so many times I've fallen short as a father, and I wish I could go back and do it over again. And I pray, God, that the young fathers, they'd step up like real sons of God, and teach a godly heritage and a godly wisdom that our humanistic society does not know about or teach, but our Bible does. Bless now as we close out this service. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you and good morning, and thank you for your undivided attention.